Hello, Deha. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
Hey, beloved. I hope you really enjoyed this podcast episode with Jana Saunders. I have known her, Jana, for more than 10 years. And you can tell it in this episode. It's got a different texture to some of the others. I really value the combination of Rumi coaching and the behind the scenes, the technical at the end. I know that not everyone who listens to this is stepping into the kaipaki or the business part of it, but I feel that these are conversations that would have saved me some time in the beginning. There's so much to learn. There's so many options and possibilities. Yet when you really grasp it, it's this beautiful ease and flow. And we touch on that in our journey. The other thing I really want to honor is there's something divine that develops over time. I feel like when I stepped into this work, some of the people I met at the beginning who weren't close friends at that time have become close friends. And I think for anyone who is feeling alone at the moment, it's a really nice thing to remember that good friendships take time. They ebb and flow without capacity to see each other in the physical, depending on our responsibilities. But when we're really connected, it doesn't matter any of that. So embracing all the things we touch on this podcast, directness, vulnerability, relationship, behind the scenes business, walking through fear. It's a juicy one.
I am with Jana Saunders, who I would class as one of my best friends, even though I haven't seen her in the physical for ages. I really appreciate your journey into being seen and being heard and softness and truthness and storytelling. You're the divine coach, mama bear, all things, Rumirumi practitioner, representation of the fierce feminine and the soft feminine and the truthful feminine and all things in between, a powerhouse really, but also one that's willing to put it all out there and be seen. I honor all of that. I don't even know when we first met. I do know it was at a random coaching thing, and my mum took off and left me on my own because she had enough of that sales pitch, and we got left beside each other. So it was destined that we connected. So welcome, thank you for being on the podcast. I really adore your mind, and I was messaging you the other day saying that I adore your directness, and I so appreciate it. Your feedback in terms of my work, I needed that directness at that time as part of that constellation of that intake as well to make my work solid. So yeah, thank you for taking that space and having that voice.
It's so good to be here. Well, it was just before I fell pregnant with, and Liv's about to turn 10. So it must have been about nearly 10 and a half years ago, I reckon 11 years ago, that we at such and such's random business event, and Vinny was with us. It was like all of the parts, that's where we met. And that was like a pivotal point in where things started to change for me after we met.
Liv was in some of our first sessions in the bassinet.
That was so special.
So to start in this current time, how would you describe yourself now?
Direct, like what you just said. I'm getting a lot of feedback at the moment that I'm brutally direct, but in a very loving and kind, generous way. So I say hard things that not a lot of people could say. I feel I just turned 44. I feel really settled. I feel really comfortable. I feel really solid. Between 40 and 44, you're kind of just changing and your skin's changing and your body's changing and your hormones are changing, but you're holding on to something that's a little bit younger. Whereas I knew turning 44, it was all just going to land. I just knew this was going to be cemented for me that it was all just going to land. So I turned 44 last month and I feel really solid, and the business name changed and I'm feeling very Jana. So I am a coach and I'm a proud mother of three gorgeous kids, but my eldest is nearly 21. So, you know, he's grown. And also a proud wife. My family, my marriage, my kids and my business, like they are just, that's who I am. That's everything that I feel like I exist in. But for right now, I just feel really settled in this chapter.
I love that. Even though I would describe you, probably my first word that would come to mind for you would be direct. The second would be vulnerable. The two go together. There's like a direct vulnerability. That's really powerful. I know that confidence journey and that voice journey and that sort of thing has grown in leaps and bounds.
I feel like when we met, I knew so much, but it was still outside of me. Like I knew it, but my body wasn't able to be in it. I knew how to be confident, but I didn't feel confident. I knew how to use my voice, but I wasn't using my voice. I knew I wanted to choose myself, but I wasn't choosing myself. So I'd learned all the aspects of how to change it, but I still felt pretty powerless. I always tell this story of when Gabby and I met and I thought I was going for coaching. And she laid me down on the beach and like sat on the tops of my thighs and I had snakes coming out of my chest. I thought my legs were going to break off. I was in so much pain and it was raining. And
I'm laughing so hard right now, just like this flashback of that time.
I had my fucking ancestors singing down the side and I was like, holy fucking shit, what is going on? I was also probably quite deep in postnatal without realizing it. I had a real strong heaviness really sitting inside of me really hard. I was in such a hard time of my marriage and a really, probably one of the hardest seasons of my whole life. So I understand why everything was coming out and all of the things. But I feel like when we first met, I just wasn't embedded in Jana. I wasn't embedded in my self-worth, who I was as a person. And the biggest part is I didn't know how to actually choose myself first. I thought I was, but I was just like tiptoeing around having an opinion and I didn't know how to disappoint the world. So I was disappointing myself. But I feel like when I started to experience Romy, something really profound and powerful was happening on my insides. I feel like up until that moment, I didn't really understand how to be with physical pain. I don't really learn how to physically take myself on in the pain aspect, which Romy, you know, Amity brought for me in my sessions in the beginning. So part of like meeting my power was being able to really be in the embodiment of pain and feel really safe to take myself on and to find my power within the experience of being in that large level of physical discomfort. And then the emotional discomfort that I could also like sit in.
I'm really curious about what your voice is in the current moment when we were probably connecting the most. It was more in that coaching or empowerment voice type thing. Whereas now I feel like it's truly you and it's coming through in a different way.
Yeah, it feels so much softer. I'm having my own experience. Why don't you share with me what's yours and let's have a conversation and see what we both take out of it. So I feel like there's a lot more spaciousness and there's a lot less proving or a lot less outcome based of how or what the outcome should be. When I first started, it was Romy. I was full in Romy. I feel like with the MIDI, it's always, why would you use MIDI when it might take you 15 minutes longer when you could just go in with Romy? Whereas I feel like the trust in myself and the trust in the process of we have so much time. Everything that's meant to happen will happen. Yes, this is going to take longer, but it feels like it's nearly more of a profound way to get to wherever it is that you're going because of the space in between every single stroke and the bringing the energy all the way down through and really using all of the body to step off the table even. Now I use a lot more MIDI. That kind of happened after COVID, Romy. It just didn't feel safe. I didn't feel I had access. I didn't feel like I wanted to go to those places. And I really started to trust that. And that's where my process started. I feel really confident in the way that I show up now on the table. And I think probably MIDI is the thing that's brought me more into, like I've used that in my practice so much more now because you can push in Romy and you know somewhat of where it's going to take you. Whereas I feel like with Millie, it's just this beautiful thrusting of the gentleness and the power that someone can have such an amazing experience and release and healing and discovery in something that is so soft and slow. So I feel like that's really helped me to relax a lot more in the way I would go about everything.
I love that. I feel very similar in my weavings. It's not a softness, it's an honoring of the person too, of their womanhood, their masculinity, whatever that is, and allowing that to be a part of the ritual as well, which feels really important. Probably more of a build up to the romero rather than how I was practicing and teaching. Even though I still teach Romi Romi and Miri Miri separate, we get a lot of people coming through who aren't Māori and they're wondering about that journey. Is there anything that comes forward to talk to about that in terms of navigating, stepping into a cultural practice that's not your own and maybe not understanding what the hell was going on in the training or the different language, Māori and English?
Being white and taking up space in a space where I probably was also holding a lot of fear of confrontation and getting it wrong or like, you know, I would say like Papa Niwuki would be like for years.
I'm just going to say Papa Tuanuki.
But that's where I've landed at, allowing myself to make mistakes and to face off knowing, I think your mum said it. She goes, Jana, you are white, but you have a Māori heart. When that came from her, I felt the resonance in that. So there's some level of having respect for what it is that I've been gifted in being able to receive and be on the table or on the sand, but also as a facilitator and to be able to hold space in that way, because my heart and essence and deep respect for Romy in some ways, knowing that I have the respect, but I don't have to have all of the detail because I trust the teachings you've gifted me and what my physical body knows of where it wants to take me with my own guides and the own energy. I feel like part of being a white woman in what it was that we created was part of me having to step in and was part of my claiming my worth.
I'm curious about that name change or shift in identity. How do you see that process being a space holder and being seen?
I feel like Day of Clarity was the perfect somewhat mask to get me ready to come into my own name. I feel like using Day of Clarity, it was nearly like there's Jana Saunders and then there's Day of Clarity, and I could step into the identity of Day of Clarity and learn how to play with her. And it was safer because it was outside of me saying Jana Saunders is saying this. And like, it was just this like different name. It was perfect for when I needed it. But then all of a sudden I was just starting to be like, I don't want to hide behind Day of Clarity anymore. Or if I was to write a book or if I was to say something, I don't want Day of Clarity on there. I just want Jana Saunders. And I just felt really ready to be Jana Saunders, to be at the forefront of my brand and what I'm saying and being really visual in that. I was also getting people call me Daya a lot, which is fine, but it was getting confusing between the like, is that her name Daya? Why is everyone calling her Jana? I just felt ready. And I'd been putting it off so long because I thought it was going to be this really big thing, which it was a bit of a shit show for Mans, my VA, to do all the back end changes and stuff. But it just was one day I just changed it on Instagram from Day of Clarity to Jana Saunders. I still type in Day of Clarity when I'm searching. If I'm going to tag myself in something, it's like it still hasn't registered.
Me yeah. too. I start doing Day and then I'm like, oh, Jana Saunders.
That's so right. Yeah. It just felt like it was time and I was ready to drop that somewhat of a safety net that I had and just really step out again. And I guess that's just that woman, that 44-year-old feeling really ready to put her name to everything that she's doing and has done.
What's the name of your podcast and what's that represent to you?
So the name of the podcast is called Playing the Fool. So I have seen over time, it doesn't matter how much coaching you have or how much Romy and how much Mithy and how many healing sessions and how many accreditations you have to your name. If you are not willing to be seen in what you're doing and be in this place of vulnerability with eyes on you where you may possibly fail or you think people are going to laugh at you or you're being too much or whatever it is, actually do not change it on the inside. You cannot change it on the inside. There's no level of Romy session that will hold if you cannot take that session and go and step in and use it in your power to be seen doing the stuff that terrifies you. It will go back. There's no level of understanding of consciousness of why you're doing what you're doing, and you can piece it all together. If anything, I say to people, you will make yourself feel like you're going freaking crazy because you're not doing something with it. So playing the fool is getting yourself from the sidelines of being a spectator in the arena of doing the things that you're meant to do that terrify you and nearly break the mold of who you believe you are on like an identity level into becoming again, into back into yourself of who you've always been before you believed the lie or before you took on the trauma or whatever the thing was. The women that are really happy and content and have this settledness inside of them are the women that are actually going into vulnerability, being seen, using their voice, like literally playing the fool, where there's some level of danger of being put down or being laughed at or being called out or whatever the thing is. And the women that are shackled and stuck and feeling crazy and depressed and the feeling, I wouldn't say trauma response, but all of this stuff is still stuck in their somatic body and they cannot move it through. And they feel this heaviness of life that it is taking them out. And that is because they have not stepped in. They have not done that terrifying thing that they feel like they're going to die doing. And they are settling into comfort instead of the discomfort of the fear. And it's a very long way and a hard way if you're going to try and go around it. It could take you possibly 20 years. And I still don't feel like it would get you half the way to if you just jump in, make the choice to be called out, disappoint people, make people uncomfortable, like have names thrown at you. The stories, all those freaking stories that we're making up based on the evidence of what we were raised in as children that we're like now looping back into what might happen. If you're willing to face off with that and play the fool in it and be in that arena that you know your soul is meant to be a part of, that is just so transformational. I was someone that was shackled on the sidelines, could never try anything new. If I didn't know I was going to win, if I wasn't going to be the best, if I didn't know all of the outcomes, like I had no fucking trust or self-belief inside of me until the pain of being a spectator of life, just like it was going to take me out. I felt like I was going crazy at probably the same time as I started Romy, around a similar time after Nalu and Vin passed away. It all coincided, but I was like, stop fucking around with your gifts, Jana, and stop being so consumed about what you think everyone else is going to think of you and have a fucking go. Because right now you're just telling yourself a story that you have no idea if it's actually true.
I just felt a wave of Vanita. And she brought us together in a way.
Completely. Yeah. I think she started talking to you first.
And then we went
to the curtain.
Oh, that's right.
We went to that with Nalu and Vin bought all the kids and the fruit. And I remember she's bought all these bags of random.
Looking so amazing.
Oh, my God. The pain of losing them was enough to leverage the fear that I'd felt of something might happen. I really just got to this stage of you are missing life. You are letting life completely pass you by, Jana. And for what? Because you can't go through this fear. So it was really around starting to be seen. And at the beginning, I probably was doing it out of like, well, who am I not to live if they didn't get to live? I felt like it was somewhat like to make them proud. But definitely very early along the way after they passed, it was like, oh no, this is for me. I don't need to do this to prove it to them. This is actually just for me because I deserve not to be shackled in all of that fear and lack of belief, the breaking of my soul constantly. As we would say, it's been such a journey, but it has. It's such a journey. And I cannot even fathom where my life might be if we weren't at that event and Romy and you. And everything that's held in my life, if we didn't get to like cross points like that, I would hate to think about what I might be experiencing in my life, what my marriage, my kids, like, I cannot for the life of me fathom what that would look and feel like. So I am so glad for such and such as
like, my mom walked out.
Your mom, and that Jill was like, fuck this shit.
She knew her boundaries. And we were like, we'll just sit here and submit to this.
And I was like, I'm not going home. I got kids at home. I'm sitting here. We swapped numbers and details, all of the things. It was absolutely meant to be on my path.
I love that. What's pinging in my brain is the space holding that you do with women. If you tie that stepping out to that, what do you feel it holds for other women or other people when we make those real like claims on that stepping out or that space?
When you step out into that space and claim something, every fear that you have will come to the surface. Every belief, every fear, every trauma, you'll get flooded in anxiety and rocking in the corner moments. Well, for me, it's something I will continuously go through at some level because of the nervous system regulation and safety and peace and contentment and kindness and the mum I get to be and the wife I get to be on the other side of looking and taking that on. Nothing is more meaningful to me. You get to meet all of the shadow parts and kind of have a look and move through it and work through it, have a laugh. I'm like, fuck, here I am again. You know, the way I can move through all of that now, I really have strong boundaries on myself of you can choose to do this, Jana, and do that name change, but you don't get to bleed out on your family. You don't get to be a shitty human being to people because you're super scared and, you know, rocking in the corner and all of that stuff. This time it wasn't really like that. That's been past experiences of maybe when I first called myself a coach and stepped out and owned that. That was a really big thing, whereas this was a little bit, but not really. I feel like I can move through that level of fear. Even the podcast is coming out. I have little pings of not even who are you, because it's like, this is important shit. I know who I am, but still someone might leave a shitty comment or attack you or pick you apart or bring out shit from your past or whatever. So that just still naturally sits there because it's my humanness. And I think I'm kind of like, yeah, cool, that could happen. And this is what we'll do to support our nervous system and our hearts if that does happen. I have a really beautiful husband who's my rock, who's solid as fuck, who just hears everything. He helps me hold my fear. He is a very solid force for me. I'd never really feel alone at all because he is just 100% there as my human. So that helps a lot.
I know that there's been times where you guys have had some shaky moments. What would you say to others who might be in that shaky moment now about getting to that solid rock point?
What I say to people, don't drop your standards. That's what I would say. We shook for a really long time because I wasn't willing to drop my standard of the love that I wanted to create and the love I wanted to experience and how I wanted my life to look and feel. And Shane didn't really want to raise them for a while there. It's so interesting. I don't think I've realized how much men influence the energetics of the relationship. We think women have such a huge, huge influence, but if the man is on the sidelines and isn't willing to be as courageous as his partner, it causes such a heaviness and a gap between the love. So we were really toing and froing, and part of me stepping in and being in all of the fear and discomfort and him still being on the sidelines going, I can't fucking do that, Jana. I'm not coming with you. Like, this is bullshit what you're asking. I was not willing to step back out of that arena and get back on the sidelines for us to be okay again. I was like, well, let's figure out if we can do this because this is a game I want to play and you want to watch. That doesn't feel like the love that I want to have or the marriage that I feel like what actually here to freaking have, because I knew that we loved each other deeply and I knew that we respected each other deeply, but I was just being really brave. The advice is to mind your own business of the timeline of when they're going to step in, and you just make it possible to ask them to come and play with you in that space that you're wanting to play with, but not drop out because it's so uncomfortable that they're not making that choice yet. I held that for years, years waiting and waiting and waiting, but not in a place of, you have to. I was not willing to do anything other than this. And he did. And, you know, we got some really great coaching, relationship coaching, and that just brought us really close together. I'd see men step in over and over again in this courage piece, in this masculinity piece, in facing off with their deepest, darkest, gnarliest, scariest truths. And everything just sets in perfectly and settles in beautifully. I never realized how much of an influence men have in that relationship. I felt like, as a woman, if you just do this, this, and this, then you will be able to influence the home with enough love, with enough intention, with enough safety, because you're the solid one and you are doing everything that you can, and that will be enough for everything to feel okay. But when Shane stepped in and he started fully showing up in his wholeness, it was profound how different it felt in our home and how everyone was differently responding. I find if I'm off, kind of not that huge a deal. Like, if I'm having a bad day, the kids seem to be fine. Will would be doing Will. Shane's kind of whatever. But if Shane's off, and he's the one that's off, and he's like in an unhealthy pattern, everything seems to be affected in the home. I notice that so much more, the energetics of when he goes down compared to if I go down. I always thought the woman was taking up so much more space, or she had so much more, maybe power, I don't think so, but influence. But I was like, holy shit, like, the man of the home influences every pocket of the home. I never really understood that until I saw Shane be so well and how settled and happy and generous when he's in his heart and his intuition, and when his vinegar's low and he's able to use all his amazing, like, this humanness about him and respond to all of the kids' needs. It's just so unbelievably sexy and safe, and it's really influences our home in such a different way. I hear that feedback from so many women, that they just feel so much safer and grounded and certain. But I don't feel like everyone gets as wobbly when the woman isn't showing up in the same way. I always felt like the woman had such an ability to influence. And I'm like, holy shit, if the man isn't in, everything is affected. The kids, your finances, your body, your health, everything is affected. But as soon as they step in, whatever that looks like, that level of courage that they're stepping into, it feels like everyone goes, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And then you see it when they step out again and it opens up those same energetic wounds again.
I absolutely adore that description. I can't remember how long ago, maybe a few months, I messaged you and I was like, oh my God, I'm holding you as my anchor for something that we were navigating. And it is true. There's something for me, I'm starting to see this work of every time we go through the fear, we know that we breathe better as people and our life gets better. That's why I really appreciate you speaking into how it feels and what it is, because it does provide that energetic frequency for people to go, that's what it might be able to look like. We don't always get to see representations of it. It's like a lot of us as women are like fighting for that, but we don't even know what we're fighting for because we haven't seen it. It is way showing others in a way when they know our story, if we are more open, if we are more truthful, to be able to be like, yeah, I came from that, but here's where I am now. And we can choose the level that we share on that or not. How I've felt at different points in my journey. When I was single and I was trying to find a partner, it was like, I don't even know what having a partner who I can trust feels like. I've never had that experience. So to even imagine that was like too much of an energetic leap almost. Then I was starting to listen to people talking and I was hearing them put down their men, talk about, like, it was just, I was like, oh, I can't with this. That's why I really appreciate how you're talking.
And whatever's happening for Shane, it's then me understanding the honouring to, one, not panic, to, two, know he's human, and to, for me to really be in more of a place of curiosity of, hey, what's going on? I've noticed this. Are you okay? I just want you to know I'm really missing this part of you and how our home feels when you seem to be here compared to whatever's going on. Then it's trying to navigate when everyone flicks in and out to, oh, this feels awesome, to this, what the fuck? Like, this is not good. Why are we back here again? Being able to stay regulated and kind and not panic through fear or anything. It's just like the process of humans and relationships. There's so much patterning, unfortunately, of what we were raised in, which we don't realize. It's constantly trying to take us out to put us back into something often really ineffective. And so it takes a lot of consciousness and intention of keeping the relationship, like Shane's and my relationship, instead of our parents' relationship and script.
I don't think people realize our true vulnerability in a way. Vulnerability isn't trauma bonding or sharing. Vulnerability is actually, I'm going to be vulnerable enough to say what I need, what's not working for me. The vulnerability of being direct, this sort of that space where it feels like you're going to die if you are direct. Set my boundaries. That's actually more vulnerable than sharing what our wounds are. Not that first time, anyone who's in that space. That first time when it's like the first time you've ever, you know, there's different phases and paces and places. But I've actually found sometimes voicing what I need to be more vulnerable than sharing my trauma.
So much of what I work on is something called transactional analysis, which is around adult woman and little girl and teenager. I'm really aware of this adult part of me that's this 44-year-old grown woman that has a voice and has a nervous system, and she does know how to ask for what she needs. But I had this little girl inside of me that's like, don't you fucking dare ask for that. You're going to disappoint them. You're going to put them out. You're not allowed. That's too much. You're asking for too much. Just stay quiet. If you make him unhappy, then he might take it out on the kids. Like, just stay silent. And then the teenager's like, just fucking do whatever you want. Why are you going to ask? You don't need his permission. So I feel like for me, a really big part of learning how to use my voice is to be in, I'm okay, I'm a 44-year-old woman. Shane's okay, he's a 47-year-old man. Like, really remembering I'm a grown woman, he's a grown man, because somewhere in my unconscious, I often feel like a 7-year-old little girl that's like, you're being too much. You can't ask for that. Just stay silent. When you go to start asking, it's knowing that it's going to feel stuck in your throat and it's going to feel like you're being too much and you're not worthy. But just that real nurturing of that, Jana, it's like, you're okay. You're allowed to ask for the loaf. And I say that all the time. Like, ask, like, my little girl's like, I'll just take the crumb. We should just be content with the crumb. There's a part where it's like, oh, I'll just take the slice of bread. And it's like, you get the whole fucking loaf. Whereas the teenagers, I want 10 loaves. One loaf isn't enough. The teenage part of me, she wants, you know, way more. Just really holding my little girl of being like, you're not asking too much. You're not being too much. This is like somewhat the bare minimum. You probably need to ask for more. And doing a lot of that reparenting for me of making it really clear for her to understand, oh, I'm allowed to do this. Or even me saying to her, you're not having this conversation, babe. Off you go, go and play. This is me. This is between the adults. So not even involving her. It's like, off you go, you go, you know, go and skip or whatever. This is between dad and I, which is how I would talk to her. This is between dad and I. It's none of your business. You're good. I've got you. And then she'd be like, oh, okay, mum's got me. I'm good. Mum's got me. This is between her and dad. So that's really helped me to be in that ask and to have that courage of knowing we are two grown people, and then reminding me if Shane wants to come and not maybe be as adult, then we're going to have a fucking conversation about that, because we're two adults that love each other and have a standard of how we communicate. I think as well, being a coach, I'm good at wriggling through the conversation of being like, hey, we actually need to stay in this a little bit longer. I know what questions to ask to get him to go inside and have to find the answer. If you want to build a skill, learn how to ask questions. If you want a really good relationship, learn how to ask your partner questions so they have to go inside themselves and come up with the answer and learn. And if it's like, I don't know, then you learn how to ask questions around, well, you know, how are they going to discover it? Because it is so important, instead of just talking at someone, being able to ask them questions so they have to explain, so they can hear their answer. Because as it's coming out of their mouth, they're like, yeah, that's probably not going to fly with her. Like, as they hear themselves say it, responding instead of being spoken.
I always say that everyone in the world should do coaching training. Not that I'm pushing that on anyone, but the skills that we learn in coaching are so fundamental and would help so many different aspects of miscommunication or clashes, not just in relationship, but in workplaces and in families and all sorts of things.
Oh, absolutely. I was listening to a podcast recently with a lawyer, and he's a really high up there lawyer, and he was just giving basic tips of how to ask questions and how even just repeating what someone said, you literally just say to them, oh, sorry, could you please repeat that if they've said something really ineffective? There's so many human behavior skills. That's why I've just, human behavior to me is just the most profound, fascinating thing. I had a couple this morning and one person was doing one thing and one person was doing the other. And it was just like, when you could just tie it into the humanness of their life and their childhood and all of those things, it just continuously blows my mind open. I'm in awe of how simple it can actually be if you learn how simple it can actually be.
Gabrielle here. So I'm editing from the future of this recording, yet I did want to touch the definition or explanation of a VA and a PA. So many people who don't have business may not have heard the term, but those who are sole traders or entrepreneurs probably have. A VA is a virtual assistant and a PA is a personal assistant. If you're lucky, those two overlap. Each setup is different, as the name virtual assistant implies you mostly work virtually, so you don't have to be in the same physical location. At some points of my journey, I've had the preference for someone being in person because I needed and wanted a coffee or a chat. I've had virtual assistants who do live in Perth, many who've been over east, and others who live in other countries. Each of those people, I didn't know when they started exactly what role they would play. VA range from anything from marketing, social media, admin, your booking systems, whatever you need. There's an episode coming out with Nicola, who did a lot on the technical side, started as a VA, and it became very apparent that her skill set, her passion, her expertise was in the technical side rather than helping me out with the day-to-day. Those aren't full-time roles for my setup. It's more of an as-you-need-it process. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, there will be a few podcasts on that topic.
Now I'm thinking it's not just being seen, but it's the freaking technical, practical business owner piece of showing up. What sort of growth have you had to take on? You mentioned manage your VA, that growth, which I'm really curious about for this podcast, because I do feel we often talk about the space holding.
Oh my God. Well, I'm pretty sure you know where I started in Canberra when we did that fucking thing together. And you were like, I didn't think you'd do this in Canberra. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're like, no, you just do this. Coaching and the energetic work and the Romy, that's just like, oh, easy ands for me. Like, so easy. But the stress that I've undergone in business, like, I was a hairdresser. I started at 15, worked for 21 years. I didn't get a phone. I'm just not a tech person. I miss the computer era. I miss even the phone era. All of those things. I didn't even know how to copy a link and save it somewhere. Constantly overwhelmed, very dyslexic. I would say probably very undiagnosed ADHD. Not my lane. I can't tell you the amount of times I've just sobbed and cried at the computer. I can't work it out. It's too hard. I don't know what I'm doing. The complete overwhelm, the breakdown, the shutdown. That's the stuff that rocks me in the corner of feeling dumb, of feeling I must be the only one that's like struggling this much. Only just yesterday I was sitting here, like changed my website, created a whole new landing page, hooked all the links up, just killed it. I was like, oh my God, something about me is I just don't give up. I don't give up. I don't know it. I'll have training with someone. Can you teach me how to do this? I spend a lot of money on getting the education around the things I don't know how to do. So, man, I'm like, can you do me a Loom video on this so I can see it? I'll pay someone else to get some training. Education is power, and that's created so much self-belief and confidence. That's what you're seeing in where I'm at the moment, is it wasn't the coaching or the body work. It wasn't any of that. It was the back end of my business was fucking holding me back because I didn't understand it. And now that I understand, I know how to send emails. I know how to create landing pages. I know how to create sales pages. I know how to do acuity, all of these things. I know how to send this link to this person. Because that's lowered my stress levels, I feel on that identity level like a grown up woman. Like I am that triangle of the business, the energetics and the coaching, but I'm also paying someone. I have like a team now, or I could do that, but I won't because that's not my genius. But I know if I needed to, I could. I really needed that part because people would be like, just pay someone to do it. And I was like, but you don't understand, that still leaves me so vulnerable because I don't know how to do it. I can't actually jump in and choose something. And I don't like that feeling of feeling alone in not having the answer. That was such a huge part of this journey and taking up space in it. And also the money now, the difference in like the abundance and that with that level of certainty that's starting to swell into.
People don't necessarily understand that to delegate or to give instructions, you have to actually understand what you're giving instructions for. And it's not that you need to know every little bit. As you build a process together, the person can ask questions and you can go, oh, I haven't thought of that, blah, 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 whatever. I've had VAs, oh gosh, for like 6 or 7 years, but poor, poor people. I'm so sorry. My first VAs, I'm so sorry. I was sort of hiring people out of the sense of, oh, you'll alleviate my stress, instead of truly thinking what they needed from me and the process of communication and also realizing what I needed from them. I think in the beginning, I was like letting people tell me how to tell them. They're like, here's what my package is and here's how I work. And this wasn't how I work. When I had that shift of, oh, I actually need like a PA, not a VA. I need a personal assistant who's going to also be happy to do my life shit, tell me things that I want to be told, and then vice versa. And I want to send screenshots. I don't want to write out instructions. I don't want to go to another program to do another thing. When I was like, I can do that and someone will collaborate with me in that, I was like, oh, genuinely, like an openness, a non-judgment. I can't have deadlines on me. Similar with the HD thing here. I need them to keep me a little bit on track, but process orientated rather than goal outcome orientated. Even to realize that about myself is such a huge thing. What I'm seeing now, which is really cool, and I guess I'm sharing it so that people breathe into this and feel that, is that even though it's like I paid for this and then nothing happened, it's so worth it. Those things are relevant now. Like they all were lessons. I feel like I'm so much more effective now with delegating, and it's like the best feeling in the world, and I'm so for it.
And that's such a big part of it. Hey, are we able to send messages and screenshots through WhatsApp? And they're like, yeah, that's no worries. I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, because I don't really do email, I will do it, but I don't really do Trello at all. So it's probably not going to work if we have to work in that way. And I already just know that. It's like the lowest denominator to make it feel easy for now. And it's not that I'm willing to not learn that, but I'm just not there yet. I just know that. I was laughing because Man interviewed me for the podcast the other day. And I said to her, what's the thing that most makes you laugh, but also scratches your head about what I do that you've seen me do? She was like, I've never known anyone to ask something in such a simple childlike way. Try and explain something in like a child. Oh my God, you're literally calling me a basic bitch. But it's so perfect because I am someone that's really dyslexic. Simplicity and basic bitchness to me is the biggest safety that you can have. So I'm asking everything in a basic, simple level because that means safety to me because it's so logical and tangible for me. And I just take little videos because she's like, you make up random names for shit that is not that. We laugh so hard because, and so now I actually do videos instead of trying to ask everything and verbalize it because I get so confused. I'm like, hey, just so you can see, I need you to move this to here and add this in here. It'll be 4 years in July. And even now we still chat about different ways to communicate. And I explained to her the other day, I was like, sometimes I show up and I'm not really talking as great as I could be. Or I'm a bit like, hey, I'm stressed out. And it might seem like I'm pissed off at you, but I'm actually scared about something. Actual fears coming out because my little girl's like, you fucked up and you've done the wrong thing or whatever. And so even after 4 years, she's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Sometimes I think you're like, I need you to do this now, but you're just so in your process of your own shit. And I'm like, absolutely. I never put a timeline. And if I did need a timeline, I'd always be like, hey, babe, this is vital. Can you do this like today? And if you can't, can you let me know? Like I'll always communicate that. So it's so interesting. It is my Achilles heel. So I said to her, that's still where my ineffective communication can sometimes show up because I don't feel embodied in it, but I'm getting better and better and better.
Me too. It's like the juicy point for me at the moment. My excitement is the potential of it.
100%.
Also, if I have something where say someone messages me about an appointment and I want to be able to message it there and then, I don't want to log on to something. This program, that program, blah, blah, blah. No, I just want to, okay, can you do this? Thank you.
Yeah. And I feel like you and I are similar. Like if it's in our brain now, we just need to get it to where it needs to go because otherwise it's either hanging over us and we're like, oh, or we don't remember it. So it's just like right now, this is the thing. That's just how I work. Sometimes in that though, it can maybe sound a bit gruff or a bit direct, but it's just fucking got 8 million balls in the air. This is just the thing.
Thank you for that. This year was my 10th birthday for my business. And it was a real similar what you said about turning 44, where I was like 10, it's shifted something. I started to see things differently and claim my space differently, operating from this, I'm going to get there one day. And then there was like, oh, 10 years, holy. Like I remember when I started, I didn't know what I was up to. When I'm looking at others, I'm like, wow, I remember that, but that was like a really long time ago. And so I relate to it, but I don't remember it fully in my body.
I remember it fully in my body. I remember like when people are starting at business, I remember feeling like, oh, you should just be able to create that in Canva. So now I'm like, you know, you shouldn't just be able to create that. Like, I don't know if you know that, but you shouldn't just know how to do that. Like, that's a fucking training on that. That's 1 year of trying to show up in Canva to learn how to do that. I think it's all of those parts that I remember and that permission slip of like, you shouldn't know, but you can learn.
Sorry for saying that.
Oh my God. I remember because I didn't even have a computer. So I was trying to create it on my phone without any real computer literacy. I just didn't have it. And I'd never really gone into an app where you created an illustration or I hadn't done any of that before. It just wasn't something that excited me or that I'd ever needed to do. My pattern can just be shut down, break down, overwhelm, like just completely feel that pure vulnerability, but also on top of, but this is the part that I need to do. Otherwise, I'm going to let the team down. Because you have been in business for longer and you, I guess, had been in the computer system.
My first job, yours was a hairdresser, but my very first actual job was doing, well, data entry was my first. But after that, it was like managing accounts. So it was all that financial literacy, that piece as well, which makes a huge difference. I know that we're on the Canva thing, but it makes a really huge difference to that foundation that people don't see. Those foundations make a difference about how we can show up in the energetics and how we can show up as a coach or a counselor or a healer or in whatever way. If our foundations aren't strong, sometimes there can be a tendency to lean into learning more about energetics, which we sort of naturally know anyway, not all women, but as women. And that other piece be like, oh, that's just a bit too hard basket. It doesn't interest me or it's boring. I had that as well. But I do feel grateful for those foundational pieces?
Absolutely. It's important. It's important because it puts you in your power. It puts you in your confidence to be able to learn and know how to do that. But it, like the whole computer part, the technology part of trying to figure buttons, and it just has been like so brutal as far as where I've been flogged with my nervous system. That's just been the hardest part for me. But I feel like, what am I, maybe 8 years in now? And it's, and like, honestly, I mean, it's only just slowly in the last like 18 months to 12 months really started to feel like, oh no, like I'm doing it. Like I am actually doing it. And I still get stuck. And like, even this week I learned how to change a file name in the file because I couldn't work it out. And like, I was like, oh God, like, you know, it took me days. And Shane, I was like, babe, how, I can't do this. And he's like, you just need to do it here. He's learned how to do that with his work now because he didn't grow up with computers or learning any of that. So he helps me a lot with that as well. But yeah, it's actually such a big part of a wound that was there that I didn't realize how open I was. And now it's closed so much more.
It feels really nice to speak about that and to know that, I think you mentioned earlier about that piece of sometimes feeling like a failure if we can't do something, but it's actually not that. It's just the life experiences we've had and a learning and then regulating our nervous system.
Yeah, definitely. And as a mum and you're trying to do these things and it's stressing you out over here and then the kids are like, can we have this biscuit? And you're trying to not blow up at them because this thing over here is so unbelievably hard. And that's where it's like learning to step out of your business sometimes and see
the priorities in your kids and your family and your, well, in different moments, there's different pockets, but for the most part, they're the umbrella of why.
That's exactly right. And like having that standard and boundary with yourself of like, it can be hard and it can be really stressful, but you don't get to take it out on, like, that's not okay. But the other part in that is money helps because you have to have money to pay people to teach you or to learn or to employ. Like, so for me, I feel like as well that wealth creation and being in business long enough now, like having so much more income coming in and having the money just sitting there, be like, oh yeah, cool. I can afford to get any amount of support, VAs, teachings, education and training. So that naturally helps me feel more regulated as well. Whereas when I first started, that money wasn't, well, it was there because I had hairdressing. I was grateful for that, but it was less. And you're like, oh, I've got to pay for this and pay for this. And that didn't feel as safe either. So I just feel like as you go along and the income and the clients and your neural pathways and muscle memory, even me just sitting down at the computer, it feels so much more normal now. We're so much more in a relationship, like me navigating the way, like we're friends. We're friends now. Whereas before it was just like overwhelm. But I feel like overwhelm in technology or the fundamentals or the back end of business or money, all of that stuff was probably a very family lineage of overwhelm when it comes to all the back end stuff. And it just been very confident in the front end. So I feel like that was a lot of what I was up against that as well, without probably really realizing how much it was actually something I'd never been taught. It had never been modeled. It was part of the script to get overwhelmed with the back end of business and creation of business, whereas I feel like I'm transcending that more now.
Have you found speaking about money or like owning that piece about earning more a challenging topic?
Last year, I actually put all of my bank details out. I put how much I earned, how much I got taxed, like the net, whatever. I don't even actually know what it's called. That's how much I don't
know. Profit?
Yeah, how much profit I made as a way of not feeling ashamed of, like, I've been in business 7 years and this is what I make. Maybe the profit was like $20,000 or something. And I just put it out there because I felt like I was like hiding away of thinking you should be making more, you should be at this stage or whatever it was. So I feel since then, it's completely dissolved my money stories. I met maybe like 100 messages of women being like, oh my God, thank you for saying this. Thank you for showing this side of business. It's not all like 100K launches, million months, so much of the what we see online in the coaching industry and all of that. I was feeling a little bit of shame or a bit of like you should be, but since then I feel like completely gone and I feel a lot more comfortable talking about money and charging and yeah, all of those things. I don't think I've really had a problem with talking about it, but I feel like there was something that really channeled inside of me when I was like, fucking fuck it. Like, this is the truth. Janet, this is what you earn and you work really hard for it. I also feel like I'm someone that truly believes it's happening, whatever that amount is, like it's all happening. Like there's no way I could show up like I do with the passion that I do, deliver the way that I do. I show up in social media. I am so in. There's no way I'm not going to one day get this level of monetary love back. I just 1,000% know that. I'm just in the process of it happening and giving it the space, the spaciousness. I just know that it's happening. This bigger amount is absolutely 1,000% coming. It couldn't not. How could it not when I'm showing up and doing what I'm doing?
I remember seeing that. I can't remember the numbers or anything, but I remember seeing that and being like, oh, fuck, I don't think I'm there yet. I was like, whoa, I was celebrating you, but I was also like, oh, I don't know if I want to put mine out. She also, what would I even put? Like, Jana had that so simple. I was like, I don't even know what I would show. Here's a little bit from coaching. Here's a little bit from training. Here's a little bit from counseling. Here's a little bit from consulting, like all the mishmash of what I do. Even when I applied for my mortgage, I remember it was like, I had to explain my financials to the bank because they were doing all the mortgage thing through what someone earning a salary would work with.
I love that you said that. You're like, Jana, put the childlike version up. Do you know what? I feel like that is like my superpower of it just being so unbelievably simple because I really value transparency. I love transparent people online and I feel like simplicity and childlikeness in communication is very transparent. And I feel so safe when people are very direct and transparent with what's happening because I know where I stand. Yeah, I love that you said that. I'm like, Tara just made it look so simple.
One of my weaknesses is not making it simple. I go so deep on everything. It's like even something that's so simple, what color, then what font. Then by the time I figured all that out, I've forgotten the message. There's a lot that goes on in my head to get to the simple. When I launched that Aku Oha Oha as well, everyone's going to see behind the scenes and it won't be this magical thing.
Yeah, whenever I feel some level of shame sitting in my body or if it's looped a couple of times, I'm like, you're still doing this story, Jana. What's going on and what do you need? Where are you not being seen in this that's creating this shame? Because being seen is the most important thing. Like being seen in the truth, seen in what you're making it mean. I wasn't that nervous to share it, but I still had nerves. But instantly I got that settledness because of the feedback that was coming in. I am not willing to experience shame. Like, I just am not. I've experienced it for so many years and I'm like, okay, where do you need to tell more of the truth then or be seen in the truth or share something that you're hiding so we can fucking clear that and it can move where it needs to move.
I feel like I could talk to you forever. Been such a pleasure.
Thanks, babe.
Is there anything on your heart that you want to share to our audience today?
Like talk nonstop. Oh. I actually did a meditation this morning because it's a little wild out in the world right now with many different things, even like AI. And there's just so many different unknowns, I feel like, at the moment. Lots of new stuff and maybe fear. And I just had that message where as I sat down again, if you can come back to the certainty of love, that energy of love, there's nothing stronger and more powerful than that wisdom that your heart has. So I feel like at the moment, if we get wobbly or fear comes up or stories get loud or we feel like we can't switch off from it, that just shutting our eyes down and coming back to our own love point, our own center point, it's really, really important to really be in stillness and in your own solitude of your own knowing that we just figure stuff out of what's actually true for us first and switch off as much as we can. I'm so, so grateful. And I just hope you're aware of the amount of lives that I get to touch and the work I get to do because of like lessons and the love and the boundaries and all of the things that you've shown me. I just can't even express what we're actually doing and the homes in which those people are going in. And I just see how they get to be with their children, you know, the little ones that don't have a voice yet and don't have much of a choice. I'm helping so many parents and so many men and women, and that's because of what you've taught me and been able to work in the body, on the body. I don't even have a word. It just feels really, it's profound. It is just unbelievably profound. And even like my daughter, who is going through so much with her own journey at school and her own dyslexia journey, the way I can hold space and come from a place of curiosity and compassion and ask her all these questions because I have the body and the energetics to be able to do that. And that was my crossing point with Romy. That's what we did together. I just can let everything be really hard and feel really safe and not try and fix it all and just give everything the love and space, knowing it's all working out. So yeah, thanks, babe. It's just, yeah, really hard to put into words. But Shane, obviously my husband, who's had a lot of work with you and done a lot of work with you on the table, where he's been able to reach within himself and then our children and marriage, it's just unbelievable the knock-on effect it's had in our home. So we love you.
I love you. Thank you. Crying and grateful, all the things.
I love you too. Thank you.